It's a great time. All right, guys. What's that? Wait till it gets really cold, yeah. I had someone text me and say, we're not going to be at church today, it's too cold. And I said, well, I'll see you in the spring. Send pictures, okay. Glory to God. Oh, I love this time of year. I love it. Praise God. Well, we want to welcome all of you today. We're going to dismiss our children at this time for Children's Church, if we have any today. And if you meet that criteria right there, you're free to go. Someone's in the back waiting for you, and you can you may have the teacher to yourself today. That'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it? Praise the Lord. We want to thank you for your giving and your faithfulness. We're coming to year end, and we just appreciate God's provision this year. Look, we are going to be in the black, I think. So, right, Hank? Our finance chairman right there. And we are grateful for that. And in fact, the last couple years have been, God has been faithful. We appreciate your giving. We're wanting this next year to be even more as far as opportunities that wait for us, but it will be God's provision and your faithfulness. And also, you'll notice that welcome card. If you're here new today, fill that out. So we'll have information there for you, on you. So if you're already a member here, and by, you say, what's a member? Well, if you attend here and you participate and you sow into this ministry, you are a member. And so we're not card-carrying members. We don't have cards in our pockets. It's just something God draws, and He adds to the church according to His pleasure, and we just recognize it. Amen? And so, praise the Lord. If you need to update your information, fill that out. We mentioned last week there's mailboxes out there, and I saw somebody out there putting, looked like the post office. So check your box, because you might have a gift out there. There is, every week we put a $100 bill in somebody's box. I'm just testing you to see. I bet you'll go out there and check, won't you? Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Well, we do have some clipboards to pass around. It's a heavy clipboard today. There's three things. Men's prayer breakfast in 2 weeks. And so sign up if you can come to that. Connie and I are cooking. When I say that, I really mean Connie's cooking, and I'm going to help her, or I'm going to serve. So you'll want to indicate. Also, the Jolt classes are starting in two weeks. Yeah, 2-3 weeks. So sign up. There's three classes. Mark's here. He's been gone, so we haven't had a chance to introduce him to you, but he's one of the teachers. Three classes, all great classes. You're going to have a hard time choosing how to study the Bible. Greg Tuning's going to, it's his Greg's birthday today, and he's sick as a dog. Happy birthday, Greg. So I think he's at the doctor right now, isn't he? So be praying for Greg, but he'll be well in time to do this, I'm sure. And then also the class, I'm not sure what that verse means, the challenge of Bible interpretation, and then clothed in his presence, and Mark will be teaching that. So just sign. The only reason we need you to sign up is so we know where the classes will be located, and if there's material, we'll know how much to have. So be part of that. It'll run for 4 weeks from 6 to 8 o'clock Sunday night. You don't want to miss it. Also, where's Diana? Diana, need that microphone there. She's going to be sharing with us about, you saw the table out there, 'Twas the Light Before Christmas. You'll want to be a part of this. Tell us about it.
Hi there. Beth and I were looking for something for the kids to do for Christmas, and Beth found this neat idea, so we're going to try it this year. It's called 'Twas the Light Before Christmas. The booth is out there and ready. It will happen this Wednesday. If you have children, or you have some neighborhood kids you want to bring, or if you even were a child at one time, you are invited. There will be four stations. One, I can't remember them all. One is called the Star Trekkers. Okay, that would be the Magi, right? And then there's the Census Takers and the Innkeepers. And so you'll be siphoned off into one of these four groups. We will learn a song, do an activity, come together in here, and then present our play together. So it'll be a lot of fun. Really. And there's going to be a light meal before. It starts at 6 o'clock. Please don't miss it.
All right. What is a light meal? Finger foods? Okay. Because sometimes that means healthy. Right? On the menu? Light? Oh, well, glory to God. Well, we're going to have a good time. Here's some other things. Just real quickly, mark them on your calendar. We're just going to have an exciting time over the next couple of weeks. Christmas Eve, we're going to be gathering here at 11 o'clock, 11 to 12. You can bring the kids, bring them in their pajamas. Make it your tradition on Christmas Eve, even if you're opening gifts. You can still come, and this will be a great way to end the evening. And we're going to have some special music. My daughter is going to be here from Texas. She's going to be singing. And Mary is going to be paying us a visit and giving us a little bit of the story from her perspective. So you'll enjoy that. And we'll have our candlelight service. Brian is going to be doing some specials on his saxophone. It'll just be when you leave, you're going to go, that was great. I'm glad I did that. Make it part of your tradition. And Christmas Day, help me out. How many services are we having? And what time is that service? Oh, you're so good. All right. You get to come early. Early service, they get to sleep in, but you're going to come a little bit early. I know a lot of folks will be traveling, but if you're in town, come and be with us. It'll be a great time to celebrate Christmas. It doesn't always happen on Sunday, which is kind of neat. And so we'll have that time together, and there's going to be some special music. It's just going to be a great time. You'll want to come and be with us. And then New Year's Eve, which is the next Saturday, we're going to come together and pray in the new year. If you can come and be with us, we're going to start with some refreshments. I don't know if they're light refreshments or but we're going to have some refreshments. And you can come at 10 o'clock, and for 45 minutes, we're going to sit around and visit. It'll be our last few moments before the new year, and then we're going to spend time in prayer on that last hour and have a little candlelight service. It'll be a great way to usher in the new year. And then that next Sunday, January 1st, this coming Sunday is Beth's last Sunday as our children's ministry director, and we want to honor her that next Sunday, and it's real simple. After second service, we're going to have a little reception on your way out. There'll be some cake and some goodies. And bring a card with you that Sunday, just a thank you card. I mean, 4 years of faithful service to our children is pretty awesome, and we want to honor that. If you want to slip a little gift in the card, that's okay, or just a note of appreciation, I know will be cherished by Beth. So come and be part of that, and then January 1st will be Diana's first full steam ahead. She's ready to go, so I'm excited about that. And the new season God's bringing. We have some pictures for outside the wall. Hey, who's this? I took this picture at the office the other day because your daughter came in. This was money she had raised for the African project, and she actually baked cookies, is that right? And took them to high school and sold them. Hey, amen. Some people are selling drugs. She was selling cookies, raising money for the kingdom. Amen. But these cookies are like drugs. I'm telling you, I've had them. You can't just eat one. But what was it? How much? $50? $53? Wow. You looked in your purse. You didn't have any money, but you knew where to get it. And, I mean, God will probably. Here's another picture you'll enjoy. We talked about the Good Apple Award. This is at the Board of Education. Where we received our certificates. There's our team and our staff that represented us, and you'll see them walking across the stage. Faith Community Church was recognized in this auditorium full of people, and I was so proud of, in a good way, there's good pride, you know, I was proud of our servants that come here and work. And you'll notice, I don't know if you can see it on that picture, but Greg has kind of stopped there. I'm down there taking a picture, and I hear that lady as they're coming through the line go, "I remember you." I went, "Oh, really?" And that is Greg's elementary school principal. All right. How many of your elementary school principals would say, "I remember you"? It wouldn't be good, though, would it, if they did remember you? But but I think it was a very positive reunion, and it was just great, and I was so proud of it. And then I was at the doctor's office, actually, for Linda's surgery last week, and I picked up a magazine. This is it. You know how you do. You're picking up. I'm reading this magazine. I've started flipping through the pages, and I found that article. And look who's in that article. Is she here today, Alicia? She is? Where's she at? All the way in the back. Ah, stand up, sweetheart. Stand up. Yeah, glory to God. There she is. She's in a magazine in the doctor's office, and this is Crooked Alley. Is that right? Putting together a ministry to hand out, provide clothes for ladies and women. And I was just, again, I just get so, I'm so proud of you. I just think, oh, man, Lord, this is the church. This is a church outside the wall. We're everywhere doing everything. And I'm just, it's just exciting. And I hope you're excited too. Praise the Lord. Well, this morning we're going to light our next candle. And we have lit the candle of hope. We lit the candle of love, and today we're going to light the candle of joy. And Jerry's going to come. Now, after she's done, they're going to leave because they were here for all first service. We're not going to make them sit through that sermon again unless you just feel God speaking to you to do that. But she agreed to stay over and share how important this candle is in her life. And I know you're going to be ministered to. I apologize that these stories were not recorded this year. We're going to do this different next year because every candle has been significant. And I wish we would have recorded them and then put them all on one CD. And I promise next year we will do that. So this year you just got to hide it in your heart, okay? Jerry, would you come and share? Would you put your hands together and greet our sister as she comes to share with us?
Good morning, everyone. I have to read this because I'm too nervous to speak out without any paperwork here. I'd like to share a scripture that I didn't believe for many, many years. John 15:11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. I lost joy, hope, faith, happiness, and love until a few years ago when I walked into this church. My previous marriage was a roller coaster. There was a lot of verbal and physical abuse. I abused myself with prescription drugs, alcohol, and diet pills, all because I was masking the pain I was feeling internally. I didn't know why I was living. I was always in despair. I barely kept my job, but was surprisingly able to function. One weekend, I couldn't take the verbal abuse and lies anymore. I had no self-worth. I was at my lowest, and I attempted to commit suicide by taking a handful of drugs. To me, there would be no more abuse, no more pretending, no more lies. I wouldn't have to feel or see any of it because I would finally be free. I ended up in the hospital where they pumped my stomach. I was later admitted into a psychiatric ward. After spending time there, and later as an outpatient, I was still being physically abused to the point I couldn't go to work. After many months, I walked out of that life. However, I still was without happiness, love, joy, faith. I covered up my pain. I covered it real good. I was wearing a mask in front of others. But inside, I was still hurting and broken. After accepting an invitation from my lawyer's secretary, I went into a program that helps people who are broken. In that program, I learned that I am worthy, I deserve to be joyful, hopeful, loved, and treated with respect. After returning to Kansas, I was blessed to marry my junior high sweetheart. He's the love of my life. And to this day, I can't imagine life without him. But even though I was married to such a wonderful man, I was still broken deep inside and found myself often drifting back to my old ways. I knew I needed help. One day I saw a sign about another type of program to help with brokenness. It was there I met a new friend, and she asked me to her Bible study at this church. I immediately felt welcomed by the ladies, and I began to feel joy and acceptance. Later, my friend asked me to attend church here. The rest is history. Finally, I have a church family. I found joy and acceptance at this church. I can now call it my home church. I'm still a work in progress, but I'm much better, in a much better place compared to what I've trudged throughout my life. Through God's intervention and my dear friend, I've been united with joy. Thank you, Pastor, for asking me to light the candle of joy. Philippians 2:2 says, make my joy complete by being of the same mind. Maintain the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. This Christmas, I would like for us to receive and unwrap the gift of joy.
Put your hands together again, and thank our sister. Thank you. And God bless you, dear. Well, we got one more candle. It's going to be the candle of peace, and we're going to light that Christmas Eve. And Taylor is going to tell you an incredible story, a journey of his life, a young man who I met, I believe, by God's sovereign divine appointment. Our paths crossed, not realizing in our wildest imaginations that we'd be in this setting today. And you're going to hear about his journey and his story and how the peace of God is coming into his life. And then Christmas Day, we will, of course, light the Christ candle. And we're going to hear an incredible story that day, too, of someone who came to know the Lord this year at an elderly age. Doesn't happen often. Whose brother led him to Jesus. And that's Brother Tom. He's going to be sharing with us. That's Kenny's brother. I love Kenny's. The day Kenny came to me and said, hey, Tom accepted the Lord last night. And he told me, he said, I just asked him, and he said yes. And I said, well, then just repeat after me. And Tom looked at me and said, I think I got my own words. I love it. I just loved it. And so hopefully we're going to get to hear from him on Christmas Day. Well, thank you for coming. I know it's cold. I know the roads might be a little slick, but I appreciate you making the effort to come today. I don't know about you. I hope your Christmas shopping's done. I know when people ask me, are you ready for Christmas? I just look at my wife. Hey, are we ready? And she either gives me a thumbs up or thumbs down. And I'm the kind of grandpa, when my grandkids open their gift, I have to come over and see what I got them. But... So I'm as excited as they are with the gift, but I'm excited this time of year, and I know we've been talking a lot about finding that perfect gift. And here in this picture, you'll see a couple weeks ago I talked about my grandma's house and the aluminum tree with the color wheel, and then Rodney sent me this text with this picture, and he said they still have an aluminum tree with a color wheel. And there it is right there. Because some of you are looking at me like, what is he talking about? Well, that's exactly what it looked like. Brought back memories. And I used to stare at that color wheel. It would hypnotize me. I think that it was telling me, you know, be good, be good. But that brought back a lot of memories. And I guess I've heard that thing that's maybe coming back. People are doing that again. I got a text from Taylor this week. He got a birthday present, and his parents took my message last week to heart. You know, I told the story about getting Connie a vacuum cleaner, how that didn't go very well. Well, they bought Taylor a vacuum cleaner for his birthday, and he sent me a picture of it. But you're glad, right? And I took that picture to Connie. I said, Connie, see, some people like getting vacuum cleaners for it. So we're putting that to bed now. We're not going to be talking about that anymore. But, Taylor, thank you for stirring that up in our home once again. I appreciate that. Well, this morning we're going to unwrap another gift, a precious gift. It's a gift that we really absolutely need. We have to have it. And as we move closer to this time, each of these gifts, you say, well, Pastor, you say that about every one of these gifts. It's true. They all kind of lean on one another, hope and love. And now we're going to be looking at joy. And I've so appreciated your texts as you respond to these gifts. and last week received a lot of good feedback from you. And I just want you to know, I told my wife, I said, you know, this church is awesome because it's so easy to minister with joy here because you make that possible because you're so open. And in fact, it reminds me of that scripture in Hebrews that we gather together that we might stir up one another. Now, a lot of churches stir up one another, but we're talking about a good stirring up one another for what? Love and good works. And I want you to know, you make me strong. And I tell everybody I meet, you know, you are awesome. I'm not just flattering you. I just want you to know, you encourage me. You make me strong. And when you send me those texts and letters, and I've never been in a church where they leave gifts at your front door after a sermon. I've never been to a church like that. And it's just, it's so encouraging. And I don't take it for granted, and I hope you don't take one another for granted either. I want to remind you as we think about these gifts that we serve a God who knows how to give good gifts. He gives us not just what we want, but what we need, all right? Because he knows exactly what you need. And if we're able, as Matthew 7:11 says, that's easy verse to remember, 7:11. Matthew 7:11, as he says, if we who are evil know how to give good gifts, what? How much more will our Heavenly Father give us gifts? And over the last couple of weeks, we looked at these two gifts. We looked at the gift of hope. And I don't know, I know that a lot of folks here have, their hope was gone. And God was giving them new hope. And I believe that's what the, see, the Christmas message isn't just about a baby. There's a reason Jesus came. Not just that he came, but there's a reason he came. And he came to give us this hope. And he came to give us and express to us the love of God. That was the word that came forth today. God is declaring to us through the Christmas message. Oh, he's saying, I love you. I love you. And my love for you does not depend upon your performance. See, so many religions in the world, you got to work your way into the... Jesus, no. No. In fact, he knew from the beginning of the garden, these guys can't fix it. Only I can fix it. And I've got a plan. And as we said last week, he started decorating for Christmas a long time ago. And he's been sitting on this thing. And it's no wonder that when the angels came to the shepherds, man, it just exploded in front of them because they'd been bottling this up all this time, this great plan that we get to live today. And so we're going to actually go to the part of the Christmas story that I love the most. How many of you have a favorite part of the Christmas stories? Yeah? This is my favorite part, the shepherds. I love this part of the story because these guys are the blue-collar third-shift workers. Listen, did you know that shepherds were not allowed even to testify in court? They were looked at. They were on the bottom rung of things. If you were going to make a big announcement, a huge announcement, who would you choose? Wouldn't you go somewhere? Would that be your first? But see, that's part of the message of Christmas because God's coming. And he's coming to us in our brokenness, and he's saying, listen, what I'm bringing to you is for all mankind. And so we want to look at this story. I'm going to ask you to turn the lights out back there, and we're just going to look at this, just a projection of these shepherds as they receive the message that night.
By beast or by crop, in plenty and in drought, he must tame the land or be tamed by it. The shepherd knows this well. He is a keeper. He is a guardian. He is a guide. And his flock, aimless in all their attempts, pulls him far away to chase their fickle hearts. How peculiar it is that God omnipotent would take the post of a shepherd.
Don't be afraid.
You don't be afraid.
For I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, has been born this night in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find the babe wrapped in strips of cloth lying in a manger.
A baby?
A manger.
Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men.
So the shepherds left their flock and hurried to the village of Bethlehem. In society's eyes, shepherds should not be the first ones to greet the King of Kings. But isn't that just like the Creator of the universe? He uses lowly people to do amazing things for His glory.
As we prepare to unwrap this third gift, I want you to think about the last time you had some good news to share. What would it have been like for the angels who'd been sitting on this thing for millennia? The day has finally come. The Messiah is coming. Whoa. How exciting. Do you remember the last time you had some good news? Maybe we were talking about nowadays they do it a little different. You know, when my wife was expecting, I just called my mom and said, we're expecting. And she said, oh. Now they give you hints. They leave notes and books and you got to figure it out. Am I right? And then you finally discover it. It's great news, isn't it? Oh, glory to God. We're pregnant, you know. Or maybe it's a new job that you got and you just got a promotion at work and you can't wait to get home and tell somebody, right? And you walk in the door and say, you're not going to believe this, man. This is, I got some great news for you today, right? What about if you won the lottery? Would you sit on it? How many of you know somebody that won the lottery? I do. My stepsister won $22 million. I haven't seen her since. You know, hey, what would that be like? You know, you think, man, would that be something? Would that be good news? That would be great news. Well, in this story, the writer declares that these angels were bringing to them not just some good news, but some great news. And this word for great is awesome because it means mega. It's where we get our word mega. Comes from this word. So the kind of news that was coming to the shepherds that night was not just good news, but it was mega news. It was huge. And just like I was driving down the road the other day and I saw a sign that said a mega mattress sale. What does that mean? Huge. It's going to be huge, right? It's going to be huge. And the angels were saying to the disciples, listen, this is huge. This is good news. I know there's a lot of good news out there, but this is mega news. And we want to wrap our arms around this mega news today because he said this mega news is mega joy. We're not just talking about any kind of joy. We're talking about mega joy. And this joy, according to the scripture, is for all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Now, the Greek word for joy has three expressions to it, and you can fill in your insert in the bulletin if you like. This word means to be cheerful. All right, that would be understood. When this joy is something that would make somebody cheerful. I like this next expression. It is to have calm delight. This joy that we're talking about is a calm delight. I heard someone say to you the other day, it's an inside job. This joy is an inside job. It's something that God does within us. And lastly, it has the expression of exceedingly full, to be overflowing with joy, which kind of fits all the gifts that we've looked at so far. Is that right? How many would like to have some of this joy? How many would need this in your life? How many would like to be a little more cheerful? How many would like to have a little more of that calm delight? Maybe you're going through some situations in your life right now and you say, man, I could really use a cup full of that. God has that for you. Well, how many would like to be have exceedingly fullness, a little mega? I'd like some mega joy, not just a little bit of joy, but some mega joy. Well, I've got a group I meet with on Saturday mornings, and you're all welcome to come. 7:30 a.m., Village Inn, Ridge and Central. You can come any Saturday except next Saturday. They won't be meeting because it's Christmas Eve, but we meet there every morning. This is a group that happened to meet the other day. You never know who's going to show up. But I always use this group as a sounding board, and I ask them questions about things that I'm preaching on. I like to. So I asked them the other day, I said, what is joy to you? And they gave me this little list here. This is from our group. See if you agree. Somebody said, well, it's supernatural. How many agree with that? This is not joy that you just muster up on your own or that you can pump it up. This is something that's totally of God. So one person said, joy produces peace. Somebody who has this joy will walk in an incredible level of peace. And I think that's true, don't you? Here's one. It's not based on circumstances. See, a lot of the joy that we experience is based on circumstances. But the joy that the angels were bringing that night, this mega joy, it does not depend upon circumstances. Somebody said that it is a gift from God. Again, it's not something you just muster up. It's something God gives to us. Jesus said, my joy I give to you. You know, it's not I'm going to make you joyful. No, I'm going to give you my joy. I'm going to put it inside of you. And lastly, it can't be hidden. Or it brings endurance and it can't be hidden. All right? People who have joy, they have this incredible endurance in their life. They can go through stuff. Is that right? That a lot of remember what the word endurance literally means, to remain under without being crushed. And people who have this joy have this ability, and we've seen it in the first century church, the things they went through, and scriptures that were written like, count it all joy when tribulation comes. In Acts, what happened? It says they plundered their goods, and what was their response? They counted it all joy. They said, we are honored and joyful that we could suffer for the cause of Christ. What is that? That is what my brothers were describing to me Saturday morning. I have another definition of joy that I found, and for me, it's my favorite. It's by C. Davis from the Evangelical Dictionary of Theology. He describes joy this way, and personally, I think this just sums it all up. Tell me if you agree with me. It is a delight in life that runs deeper than pain or pleasure. It is a delight in life that is not affected by pain or by pleasure. It just is. And again, it's something that God gives us. And so this morning, in the time we have, I just want us to look at three mega cups of joy. There's more than three, but we're just going to look at three mega cups of joy that I'd like you to experience. They're all P's, all right, so you'll be able to remember them. And the first mega cup of joy is the joy of pardon. The joy of pardon. And here's some scriptures we're going to look at this morning. Pardon, what is that? Well, that's what we've been talking about this morning. That's what the shepherds were all excited about, that here's a baby, he's come, and who is he, and what is he, and what's he going to do? Well, he's come to be the Savior of the world. What does that mean? He's going to save us from our sins. We're going to receive pardon. What is a pardon? Who gets a pardon? Do the innocent get a pardon? Only the guilty. Only the guilty. If you get a pardon, man, that's just total grace, isn't it? And God, and that should bring us great joy, because the reality is that my sins have been forgiven. The scriptures are clear that they are as far as the east is from the west. I have received this gift of salvation. It does not depend upon my performance. It is a free gift from God that I've received. It is His grace. It's the most wonderful news you could ever share. It is mega news. This is a mega pardon that God has given to us. Let's look at, in Luke, what did the angel say? A Savior has come. In 1 Peter 1:7, we find these words, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Where does joy come from? It starts in the cup of pardon, the cup of salvation. It is the if you have any cause at all today to be joyful, it is that one cup alone. If God never does another cotton picking thing for me, He has already done enough from this cup for me to praise Him for all eternity. He's already done enough from this cup, no matter what happens to me in this life. I stand pardoned before God. David declared in Psalms 51:12, he in his prayer, he said, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Salvation brings joy. Is it possible? I mean, David seemed to suggest that maybe it had seeped out of his life, that he needed it back again. Anybody here like that? Remember when you first got saved? Woo! Oh, ting, ting, right? It was awesome, wasn't it? Man, but then something happened to us. And all of a sudden it began to seep away out of our lives. Is that possible? But God wants you to be full of joy. He wants you to be overflowing. And I think sometimes we lose our wow. We lose the, what has God actually done for me? What is Christmas all about? It is this incredible story of pardon and forgiveness. But it goes farther than that. Because the next P, I believe, because if we just had pardon by itself, what would that? But now God's saying, hey, listen, not only am I going to pardon you, but my presence is going to be with you. I want you to imagine with me, you're standing before a judge, and you are guilty as rain. And this judge takes his gavel and says, listen, I'm just going to wipe out this offense. I'm going to dismiss it. Would you be joyful? Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. But what would happen if that judge leaned over his desk and said, listen, I'd like you to come over to my house for dinner tonight. Would that just kick it up a notch? Because see, it would be possible to be pardoned without relationship. But this is the mega part. The mega part is we weren't just pardoned, but now we're pardoned by one who wants to have presence with us. He wants to be part of our lives. He wants to be engaged. You know, Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man come in, I will what? Sup with him and he with me. What is that? What's he saying? What is the angel saying? He's saying, listen, God's heart is to fellowship with us, to have presence with us. Psalm 16:11, you will show me the path of life, for in your presence is fullness of joy. You have a problem with joy? Tell you, you're probably not spending time with God. Because the more you spend time in His presence, now you say, yeah, God's presence is always with you. What He wants is for you to be aware of His presence. Because when you are aware of His presence, I guarantee you, you will be full of joy. A joy that is not affected by anything. Not by pain, not by pleasure. It just is. It comes from His presence. That's why we spend time in prayer. That's why we spend time in worship. That's why we spend time seeking the Lord. It is His presence. In His presence is fullness of joy. So if I don't have joy, maybe that's the first place I need to look. In John 15, you know this, Jesus is talking. And familiar scripture, right? We all know it. He's talking about what? The vine and the branches, right? What's he talking about? He's describing for us our new relationship with him. And he said, listen, this is what it's going to be like. I am the vine and you are the branches. And he starts talking about us abiding in him. He said, and if you abide in me and I abide in you, you're going to bear much fruit. What, he's talking about a relationship. He's talking about presence, isn't he? And so he starts moving down through here. He says, if anyone does not abide in me, is cast out as a branch. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. It shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit. So you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you, and abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments. These things, what things? These things I have said to you. I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. What is God's heart for us? He wants to give us joy, his joy, and he wants us to run on a full tank. He doesn't want us half tank, quarter tank. He wants us to be full of joy. How is that possible? Because God's presence is ever with us, right? We've been pardoned. Now we have his presence. It's ever with us. Galatians 4, 1 through 7. Now I say that the heirs, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. In other words, maybe there's somebody in here like this. You got an inheritance, but you're too young to get it, right? And now, yeah, you're worth millions, but you can't access it. You can't even go buy a Coke, because you don't have access to it yet. But you have guardians and stewards over you, appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But, here's the Christmas story. But, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. That's presence. That's relationship, isn't it? And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Listen, that's mega news. And that's mega joy. Do you believe that? Do you believe you've been pardoned? Do you believe that you're in a personal relationship with God and his desire is to be with you? So oftentimes, we're giving all these gifts to God and we're serving God, and all God's saying is, would you just sit down and talk to me? I'd like to just have a talk with you. Would you just sit down and fellowship with me? I just want to spend some time with you. I want to sup with you. And you. Do you understand this? This is mega. This is something so foreign. This is what Christmas brought to us. Emmanuel, God with us. Now we have a God who wants to be with us, who wants to be part of our lives. He's pardoned us of our sins, and that's awesome, and that's wonderful, and he's the Savior of the world. But he didn't just leave us there. Now he's going to enter into our lives, into a personal relationship. And that leads us to the third mega cup of joy, because, and that is the cup of purpose. Purpose. And here's some scriptures we want to look at. All right. First, Ephesians 2. You know this scripture well, don't you? Ephesians 2, 8 and 10. We know this, right? For by grace we're saved through faith, not of works. Amen? Now, we know that. We don't necessarily walk that. We say that, and then we kind of make people work for it, don't we? Come on, try harder. Do harder. Come on. Come on. Toughen up. No. This salvation, this is mega. This is mega. See, if it was you, it wouldn't be mega. If it was you, it wouldn't be great news. It'd just be good news. But this is great news. This is mega news. Because God says, listen, I'm doing this thing for you. And you're going to be saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Isn't that great? So we're not saved by works. So you got that settled? Nail that down. All right? And if you got anything that's different than that, you need to set that aside. You are saved by grace through faith alone. That is God's gift to you. That is mega news. But then he goes on, and now he talks about our purpose. How many of you feel like your life is a life of purpose? Do you feel you got purpose? Do you got a reason to get out of bed in the morning? Or do you go, my life doesn't mean nothing. I'm just sitting here using up the clock. I'm waiting for the rapture bus to come and get me. It'll be over soon. I'll just endure to the end. I want you to know that part of your joy is the realization that God selected you for this time and for this place. Here you are for a reason. And you might look at yourself and go, oh, I don't, I'm not like so-and-so. Oh, listen, it'll steal your joy if you don't understand that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And He chose you. Why do you live in America? Why don't you live somewhere else? Because God chose you to be here. Why are you at Faith Community Church? I love to hear the stories, how we all got here. It is by purpose and plan. Do you believe that? See, I believe God's more in charge than you think He is. And God is directing and ordering our steps in ways we can't even imagine. Do you believe that? It is a life of purpose. I am not a random seed. I didn't just blow in here. But God orders things and He has planted, just like we talked about today. He's planted us. He's planted us for a purpose and a plan. Amen? Do you believe that? Romans 8:28. You say, oh, here we go again, that scripture. Yeah. Yeah, listen, plaster it all in your car everywhere you go. Do you believe the scripture to be true? If you do, it will give your life purpose. For we know that all things work together for good to those who what? Love God and what? According to His purpose. God has a purpose. I believe you're all called to a purpose. You may wonder sometimes what it is. Sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes your purpose is just to get out of bed and show up today. And God will take care of the rest. Did you know that? See, you're laboring too hard with this thing. You just need to enjoy the journey and get up out of bed. And I'm not saying you got to get up out of bed and be bubbly. Although, you know, that's just my DNA. I get up out of bed. I'm ready to go, man. As soon as that alarm goes off. Man, that alarm went off today. Wasn't that something? That was something, wasn't it? That was your alarm, wasn't it? I never heard that sound before. Man, it was like trumpets playing. Man, I thought, it's time. I jumped out of bed. And I'm going, hot day, bless the Lord. And Connie goes, could you just kind of work your way into that a little bit? You have to do that right away. Give me time. A cup of coffee would be nice. Then let's rejoice a little bit, you know. It's just, and I understand our personalities are all different. But, man, I realize a day is short and I want to get all there is because I believe this day has purpose. I believe today has purpose for you. Maybe that purpose is you're going to be having lunch somewhere today and you're going to meet somebody and talk to somebody. You have this incredible gift in you. Maybe your purpose today is to say something. You know, it could be just a word to somebody. Something small that could change everything. You know the story of my father. My dad and I were estranged for many, 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 many years. And we came back together again through a sequence of events. And our relationship was restored in a powerful way. And then my dad died. And my mom and dad were divorced for many years, and it was hard. My dad was very abusive to my mother, and found out my dad didn't have any life insurance, and so we paid for his funeral. And my mom wasn't real happy about that because he never paid child support, didn't do any of that. And so my mom said, well, that's just like your dad, just like him to get you one more time in the end. And I said, well, Mom, he's my dad. You know, I think we have a responsibility here. We need to do it. And my mom struggled with it, and I don't blame her. But one day, just to show you how you have a purpose, something, you just show up. You just show up. And sometimes God, you know, we make this so spooky, this thing of God said and God spoke to me thing. I know I'm getting off a little bit here, but this is important. Sometimes God will just think your thoughts. He'll use your thoughts. He'll bring things into your mind. And so my mom called one day, and some of you know the story, and my wife was talking to her on the phone. I was in the parsonage. I was sitting in the living room, and I know my mom was complaining about this. You know, how much did it cost? Well, it was $5,000. You know, and my wife said to my mother a little phrase that changed there. She said, well, you know, Ruth, it's all your fault. And I'm sitting over here. Those were words of purpose. Words of purpose. She said to my mother, it's the way you raised your kids. You taught them to forgive. They're just doing what you told them to do. Totally turned my mom's heart just like that. Totally turned her heart. Good job, God. Yeah. See, every day we can be a glove on God's hand. Now, that'll give you purpose. That'll fill your heart with joy. When you get up in the morning and realize, I'm not just here to live out my life to use up the clock. I'm here for a reason. And sometimes you just don't see it. You just need to stop and look and see how is God using you in little ways. And sometimes you'll plant where you will not harvest, and you'll harvest where you have not sown. It's just how it works. And our job is to plant and water. God brings the effect. It is my purpose in life, amen. And God has, and I'm called. I love Him, and I'm called according to His purpose. And I don't always know what it is. But I know it is, and I know God. I know I have a time. I know my days are numbered. I know God knows the exact day. I'll suck my last breath out of my lungs. He knows that day, and until that day, we were reading a scripture in early service about how we're going to bear fruit in old age. You know that we're going to flourish. I think God wants you to do that. I think you have purpose, right? I was meeting with Willa. We know Willa at the care home, and she so wants to go home and be with Jesus. She's laying in that bed. She said to me this Tuesday, she said, I have no purpose. My life has no purpose. I said, oh, well, it's not true. I said, if you'd have left, I wouldn't have known you. And you've blessed me. Of course, she gives you that little smile. I said, how many nurses here have you talked to? A young man comes in the room about that time to adjust and move things around. And he said, Willa, how you doing? And she was very happy, you know, oh, I'm doing okay, you know. And we talked after he left. I said, Willa, you might be here for Jim. If you buy the lie that your life has no purpose, it's going to suck every ounce of joy out of your life. But if, on the other hand, you realize I'm here for a reason. And even in this church, in 1 Corinthians, I close with this, in 1 Corinthians 12, we're not going to read, it's too long, but you know, Paul's talking about the body of Christ, and he says it's like a human body, right? It's got all these parts. And he said, we're many parts, but we're all one body. And he said, there's fingers and hands and eyes and ears and toes, just like your body. Are there a lot of parts in your body? Yeah. Anybody heard of a gallbladder? You probably haven't thought of that lately, but you have, haven't you? Gee, why? Because we're having problems with your gallbladder. See, there's parts you never even think about because they're doing what they're supposed to do, right? They're just there. The unseemly parts would seem to be unseemly, yet they're very important. You lose them, you're going to find out how important they are, right? All the parts matter, and they all work together for the common good. All the joints working together for one purpose, right? And what was the two attitudes that Paul came against? There were those who said, well, if I can't be an eye, then I'm not part of the body. What is that attitude? It's an attitude of no purpose. I don't have a purpose. If I can't be a preacher, I have no purpose. If I can't, you know, and I'll be honest with you. When I left the pastorate in 1997 to go into business, and it took me for a couple of years, I struggled with purpose. I struggled with it. It didn't help any when a guy came into my office one day and looked at me and said, what a waste. Good friend of mine, stood right in my doorway and looked right at me and said, what a waste. I went home. I said, honey, am I wasting my life? Of course, she was a good wife. No, you're not wasting your life. That's what wives do, right? No. Lie to me, honey. Lie to me. Just make me feel better, right? Glory to God. And later, my friend came back and apologized because he didn't see, and I didn't even see, the purpose that God had for my life and what was going on and what would happen. My office partner who came to know the Lord, all the many people we met, and now here we are at Faith Community Church. How'd that all happen? Because you live a life of purpose. You just show up every day. You don't have to manipulate it. You just show up and let it happen. Amen? Amen? And then the other part of that story is, you know, see, if I can't be an eye, then the other one is people dismiss parts. Well, you're not important. You're not significant. The church kind of helps along with that attitude, right? You know, it's not every part. You have a purpose, and that's mega, because God designed you for this time and this place. I want you to confess that and believe, even in your current situation, God, I'm believing that. Now, we're going to come to the table. This is a table of joy. I know that because of Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 declares, he says, therefore, let us also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight and every sin that ensnares us, Let's run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. He said, I want you to look to Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher of your faith. Do you believe that? Listen to me. God's the initiator. He's also the finisher. The initiator bears more responsibility. The one who starts it has the greater burden. God has the greatest burden because he started it. And he said, I'm going to finish it. Paul even said that. I'm confident in this one thing. He who's begun a good work in you will perfect it, complete it. That sounds like purpose to me, till the day of Christ Jesus. But listen to these words. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, he's getting ready to go to the cross, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Now, I don't put those two things together, do you? Well, if you're talking about mega joy for a mega cross, for a mega pardon, and a mega presence, and a mega purpose. That's exactly, it was joy that took Jesus to the cross. Joy started, the angel started off, I bring you good tidings of mega joy. And they knew what was coming. And Jesus knew what was coming. And he said, I'm going right to the cross. And the joy is set before me. It's out there. What was that joy? The joy was doing the will of the Father. The joy was also being your Savior. He saw you. You are his joy. You bring him great joy. Amen. That's mega joy, isn't it? And so we pray the prayer of David today as we come to this table. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Because some of you need that. Some of you need that right now. You've been walking with God a long time, but you've lost your joy. God wants to give it back to you. Amen? It's time to get it back. Because without joy, you're just going to tread water. God, the joy of the Lord, what does Nehemiah 8:10? The joy of the Lord is my... Really? Some of you are weak because you've lost your joy. And where do I get joy? In the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So that's where we stand today. Is this a mega gift? It's a mega gift, isn't it? And so we want to come to the table of the Lord today. Just very simply, we're going to take that bread and we're going to dip it in that cup. And we're going to partake of it. And we're going to declare today the joy of the Lord is our strength. All right? I want you to declare that. I want you to thank God for the pardon. Thank him for his presence. And thank him for the purpose he has put in your life. And don't let anything take it away from you, because Jesus said, the joy I give you, no man can take from you. You know what that tells me? The only one that can give it up is me. And I'm telling you something today, and I'm declaring this as your pastor. I'm on the joy bus, and I'm not getting off. I'm riding it to the end of the line, and I'm not getting off. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. Father, we come to this table, and we dip this bread in the cup, and we declare today that the joy, your joy, that is in us, makes us strong. Father, I pray you come against all those things that have sucked that joy out of our life. And Lord, would you put it back again? We pray the prayer of David, restore to us the joy of our salvation. Please, Lord, we can't live without it. We need the hope. We celebrate the love. And out of that comes this incredible mega joy. It's huge. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We believe in open communion. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we invite you to come to the table. I guess I'm over here, right? Come to the table, dip the bread in the cup, and then make your way back down the center out to your seat before we close. God bless you as you come. Tom? you stand with me, please? As we get ready to go, may this be our prayer. May the God of hope fill you with all joy. All right? Wherever you are, where's Sean Allison at? Where's Sean at? He's not here. He's at work. Let me tell you something. I got a call this week. You know what Sean does for a living, right? He's a security guard. He's a security guard, all right? Now, if you could just be a little softer. Is that good? Okay. Our hearing aids are interfering with it. Sean did what he does. He caught a guy shoplifting. And he sat him down in the office. He talked to him. Then he gave him the card. He said, "You need to talk to my pastor because you're in trouble. Call him." And the guy did. I'm going to be meeting with him Wednesday. I think, glory to God. Glory to God. This guy might be in church next Sunday. Who knows, you know? I think that's what an opportunity just to let the life of Jesus. Who are you going to give him to? You have received a mega gift. And it's not for you to sit on, but it's for you to give away. Wherever you are, I mean, in some pretty unexpected places, I was not expecting Sean to do that. And I hung up the phone, and I was like, again, I love this church. I love this church. That's what it's all about, isn't it? That's what Christmas is all about. So give it away, folks. That's what it's about. Father, we love you. And we give our lives to you. We present our bodies to you as a living sacrifice, holy, not because of what we've done, because you have separated us unto yourself. You have made us holy and acceptable. It is our worship. We're not going to be conformed to this world, but we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we might know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, that we might know the purpose of our lives. Father, we're not going to be anxious about it. We're just going to enjoy the journey. And we're getting on that joy bus, and we're not getting off. And I pray, Lord, you will give us that joy, that it would not be affected at all by pain or pleasure, but it will be the most constant thing in our lives. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer this morning, we want to pray with you. Maybe you need somebody to lay hands on you and just pray the prayer of David with you, or you need healing in your body, whatever you need, there are people here who will pray with you and care about you. Take advantage of it. Amen. It's God's gift to you. It's a mega gift just for you. God bless you. We'll see you Christmas Eve if we don't see you before. We love you. Merry Christmas. God bless you.